listening to TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. I'm your host. Thanks for listening. Danai Gurira is hands down one of my favorite actresses on TV. In case you don't watch The Walking Dead, she co-stars as Michonne, the sword-wielding zombie killer. For at least two seasons now, some of us, present company included, have been hoping and praying the writers would make Michonne and Rick a couple, but that dream is dead for the most part now that Rick is all booed up with Jesse. Anyway, back to Michonne. Arguably one of the strongest female characters on TV and one of the most complex African-American characters, Michonne is only as brilliant and wonderful as she is because of the brilliant performance from Danai Gurira. Recently, Gurira penned in the powerful play Eclipsed, which stars Oscar-winning actress Lupita Nyong'o, and heads to Broadway in February. Meanwhile, the sixth and current season of The Walking Dead, which I listed as the second best show of 2015 on HitFix's annual critics poll, also returns in February. Before 2015 comes to an end, I thought I'd dig in my podcast archives for this fun interview with Gurira, which I've never aired before. And the interview was done in 2012 when Gurira joined the cast in season 3. Here she talks about the show, Michonne's deadly katana, and more. Check it out.
It is fun, I won't lie.
Really? Yeah. Was it cumbersome? And like,
initially, it was like new. But by then, initially meaning when I first started training with it.
How long did you train?
Not that long, you know. By the time we started to shoot, it had only been about 6 weeks. It was very intense, though. But by the time I started to do it, like, I remember working on that scene with the director. And because I was working with the different swords, I'd had my own swords I'd gotten from my trainer when I was here. And then, you know, the sword that her sword is a little bigger, a little heavier.
Is it real?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I have a ton of them. It depends on what I'm dealing with.
Like, I'm just trying to figure out the sharpness of the blade. Like, is there a threat of, like, you could cut yourself?
Oh, you could hurt somebody. You
and have
somebody.
You cut yourself?
No.
Okay, good. You're like, no, I'm tough.
No. But the sharp end of the blade is not razor sharp.
Okay.
No. But it's sharp enough. It could hurt somebody. And the tip could definitely, it could really do
I'm picturing, like, Kill Bill dangerous.
No. Yeah. It's the exact same type of sword. These swords are worth, like, $20,000. Built from scratch.
Wow.
I mean, they're no joke. It's the exact same type of sword.
That's awesome.
But yeah, they're not going to make it razor sharp. That would make no sense.
For a razor sharp sword in the actor's hands.
But they're sharp enough to do damage. If they were wielded at full speed on someone's neck. Yes.
They would cut. You could narrow down the cast that way.
Especially in the prison.
No. But thankfully none of that has ever happened. But there are times, you know, like they need there's a half sword I have to use for special effects, you know. So we switch them out. But in every scene that we shoot, I'll use the full mama because she is so gorgeous and you have to get that full thing in there. Mm-hmm. And then for another take or two, we'll use the one that special effects needs because when it actually slices through things, we kept using the real thing. So it is an interesting negotiation because I have to know spatially, thank God, I guess I just have an ability that way to know that, you know, when I'm about to, like, it has to, like, go right through, look like it is, but I have to keep it away enough from the person playing the zombie or whatever's body.
Right.
So that it doesn't actually do so.
Wow.
So that's...
And so that's part of your training, right? Like, how to... Swing it, but don't swing it too hard, and don't...
No, you have to swing it fully, but you have to just maintain spatial negotiations, spatial relationships. And that, I don't know if I was quite trained to do that. It's just something that when you're rehearsing it and when you're putting it up on its feet, you just figure it out. So, yeah.
You're one of the best action women, action heroes on TV, but especially with women. Can you talk about that and sort of, like, did you... Think about that when taking the role, like, I'm going to be an action hero.
I never thought that exact thought, the action hero idea. I never really thought about her that way. But and then I started to realize that that's what she was. But really, it's something I've actually always wanted to do. You know, I'm from theater. I've always been extremely physically active. I wanted to do some. I've always wanted, like, I love it when I see, like, you know, whatever. Even I don't care the quality of the film as a whole, but I loved Salt.
Yes, the choreography.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I was like, okay, she can't really beat up guys that quickly. But I still loved it. Like, there was just something about seeing a woman, like, just... do
yes.
stuff like that.
Yes.
You know, the way she killed, like, the dude at the end. What's his name?
Yes, when she, with the leg and the, she, when...
No, with the chain.
Oh, when she comes down off, yeah.
When she jumps off the railing and pulls his neck. With and she just said, you know, it was just like that, stuff like that. It sounds horribly, you know, violent, but just stuff like that, like just seeing a woman just really be active that way, I love that stuff. So the idea of playing her was really thrilling, playing someone who gets to be really physically active and definitive and largely victorious was really thrilling to me, because I love that stuff. I've always wanted to do that.
That's so awesome.
Did you know how much attention this character would have on her? Like how much the fans wanted to see her?
I had an idea when I started to audition. The audition process was, you know, some weeks long, so I had an idea as I did the research that she was... I had never heard of her. I didn't know anything about her. I just started to look it up online, and I was like, oh. You know, but then, you know, once I got the part, it was like, you know, whatever you got online, if you're on an internet dating, whatever you're doing, just shut it down and don't look at the internet ever again. I was like, oh, okay, wow. So I'm stepping into that. Got it. You know, deal with the fake aliases on Twitter and Facebook, which drove me nuts.
Fake aliases, people pretending to be you?
Yeah, suddenly.
Oh, that's
suddenly
weird.
Suddenly I was very interesting. So,
wow.
Yeah, I was very upset.
Not something that happened when you were on Treme.
No. It was Michonne. It was definitively Michonne. Suddenly that was like, oh, she doesn't have... I'll be her Twitter voice then.
Ew.
Oh, this is a Facebook... I'll be her Facebook voice
then. She'll get a Twitter page just for the sword.
Right.
Exactly.
That's funny. I don't know why it couldn't just be a fan page for Michonne. Why did it have to be you pretending to be Danai? Like, that was just so
frustrating.
That is
weird.
I really was very frustrated by that. But we got rid of it. AMC did things. So.
Wow. Wow. That's nothing... I mean, that's not... That's not something we would think of, or any normal person would go, oh, she better watch out, now somebody's going to create a Twitter page and pretend to be her.
Yeah,
when she gets
exactly what happened. Crazy.
And you talked about the auditioning process. Do you know how many other people were, like...
No, I know that they were considering a lot of people for a long time. They knew they needed a Michonne for a long time, so there was a long process. I came in, I was approached to audition... probably about 3 weeks before I got the role, maybe 3.5 weeks, about a month before. And I did one round on tape, and then I think it was going on for some weeks, and then I did another round with the producers, and then I did another round with the producers and the network, and another round with the producers and the network. So it was a process. It certainly wasn't like, oh, we'll have a chat, and oh, yeah, the role's yours. No, it was a process, and I'm thankful for that. As a performer, I like to, this is my interpretation, take it or leave it. I don't want you to take an idea of me. Take how she sits in me and choose that, you know. So I'm glad I had to go through the rounds. In the end of it, there were just a few of us in the test process where they're trying to decide between a certain number of people. There were just a few of us. But those were the only women I saw. The other ones, you know, you don't encounter it because all your auditions are happening separately in different ways.
Right.
But at the end of it, there were a few of us in that final day, like 3 of us.
Can you talk about that a little bit more? I don't know how much you can talk about it, but like, did you have to, in the test process, did you have to like do scene with, say, with Lori or...
No. There was a dummy scene. It was very extensive and very specific and very clear who she was. And it's not in the show. It's a dummy scene. But it was a great scene.
Huh.
Great scene. But it'll be with a Lori-esque character.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were talking sort of about the physicality. Was that something that they tested you out for as well?
By looking at you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you mean the actual athleticism?
Yes, for Michonne.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, not in any sort of like, not like, okay, run a mile.
Right, I mean, I'm just
how fast you did
like,
that.
Right, like, what's the wipeout? Like, you're going through an obstacle.
Right.
Or like, kill that zombie. And like,
yeah,
zombie.
No,
No.
They did look at your background in terms of how athletic you've been and what your abilities are, but they didn't put me through a physical test of sorts. That would have been funny, though.
At least in the beginning, she seems to, you know, be fairly isolated, her and Lori.
Right.
When did she start to come across some other people, and who was the most fun to kind of go head-to-head with?
Oh, I can't say that. You're going to have to watch that and decide for yourself. They do start to encounter people very quickly after the first episode. Well, then after the second, the first episode they're not in. The second episode they're not in, but as the third episode kicks in, as you know, Woodbury comes into play. and you know, the governor and the Woodbury world comes into play, and so of course instantly there's a lot more people to deal with.
And it would be safe to say that she has some conflict with lots of people.
safe to say if they don't sit right in her, she has no time. She's not a people pleaser, you know. She listens to her instincts and she's not trying to be your friend. That's really her in a nutshell, at least initially. I think she has a beautiful becoming. She's on an arc. There's a becoming she goes through this season, which I love.
But we'll never hear her say, it won't be like a reality show, right? We'll never hear her say, I'm not here to make friends.
No, no, that's me. That's me talking about her.
Right,
no,
no.
She's not a people pleaser and she's not trying to befriend people.
Yeah.
She's very particular about that sort of a realm.
But she's an awesome friend to have. I mean, like...
Yes, once she's decided on you, forget about it.
Right.
Like Lori.
Right.
Like Andrea.
I mean, I'm like, Andrea, right? Andrea's character, it's just like, I want Michonne to go to the drugstore for me.
I want her to go, she'll probably come back.
She will come back and she will get you a drink.
Sorry, guys, I have to wrap it up.
That's hilarious.
Thank you, Dad.
You're
thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you.
Me and Lori next.
Okay, sweet.
My BFF.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye, y'all.
Bye, thank you.
Good stuff, right? I love The Walking Dead. I love Danai Gurira because of that and because she's on the show. Season 6 returns in February 2016 with all new episodes. And that's our show. Thank you to Danai Gurira for being awesome and making us love Michonne. Can't wait to see what the rest of the season 6 holds for you and Michonne and Michonne's love life or non-existent love life. Our sponsor, Record Surplus LA, the last record store. Visit recordsurplusla.com, NPR West. Patrick, thank you for stepping in for Marcia. You guys are the best. I love this place. Production assistant and graphic artist, Adam Janis, and you. Thanks for listening.